Every day is precious. Every day. There is nothing better than the love of Jesus. You cannot find anything more satisfying than your Savior. No matter where you look, no matter what you try, you will never find anything more satisfying. It'll satisfy you, your mind, your body, your spirit. It'll satisfy every part of your life, and you'll live your life in this place of just constant satisfaction. Amen. I get the sense he's saying, don't look for your satisfaction outside of me. Look for me. Put your effort, put your focus, put your heart towards me. I will satisfy you. He says to you this morning, I am your living water. Living water. We're going to talk on the anointing just for a moment. So you can take a seat for a second. Might grab that. Sorry, apparently big boys don't cry, but anyway. Well, that was on camera too. Sorry about that. Can I just talk just for a moment about anointing? Because it's a, you know, it's a powerful thing to feel anointed. And do you know what it, you know what anointing simply was? Back in old biblical times, sheep were important. They still are in New Zealand. But sheep were important. And if a sheep got infected by lice and insect, they'd burrow into their ears and they would, literally they could kill a sheep. They could burrow in. So what the shepherds used to do is they'd get some oil and they'd pour it over the head of the sheep, and they would cover that sheep's head with oil, and that oil would, you know, it would protect that sheep and allow that sheep to live its purpose. Amen. Otherwise they would literally die and the insects wouldn't come near it and stay away from it. And literally that's what they took the anointing from. They took it from a humble practice. And the Old Testament, there's only a couple of reasons why they anointed people. And one was they anointed buildings. They didn't just anoint people. They anointed buildings and they set things apart for God. And I've even been asked in my life to anoint someone's car. So, yeah. And I've been and anointed someone's house. And, it's okay. But, you know, the Tarago pulled up. It was a Tarago. And there I was with a little bit of GTX2. But you know what? They just wanted some protection. And it's not, you know, just sure, that's their faith. It's where they're at. But the anointing is not some sort of magic oil. And I do explain that to the person when they brought their car up to me. And I said, this is not a magic oil that, you know, you've got more oil in your engine than you're doing this. It's not like that. I said, it's just your faith and you believing that you are anointed. But in Exodus, they did used to anoint buildings and people do that. And it's still today, people will go out and anoint a building or and it's something to do with their purpose. But the main application for the anointing really is with oil is to consecrate someone to be used by God. That's really what it is. It's in biblical times, if someone was going to become a priest, the whole priesthood was anointed. So in Exodus 29, it talks about how the whole lot were anointed with oil. In Leviticus 8, verse 30, I'll just read this. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments and also on his sons and his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. They anointed them. They anointed them for their purpose to be priests. And in 2 Kings, we also did a story of King David and how the prophet Samuel grabbed King David. And when God had chosen King David, we know the whole story, all the other brothers were lined up and David wasn't there, and then David is called forward and the prophet anointed David to be king over Israel. Powerful. So how does that relate to us today? How does that affect us in our world? And there's nothing wrong with anointing a person. I really don't believe, as long as you don't think it's just a magic potion, all right? Don't get into some sort of weird religious thing where you think all the power and the oil that we use here is put aside into some glass case and no one goes near it. And if you come anywhere near that oil, and, you know, it's not like that. We pretty much use vegetable oil and that you can get from IGA or Woolworths. Okay. So just to let you know, it's not come from some alabaster vial that's been in Jerusalem, buried next to whoever. It's not like that. It's not a magic potion. It's a symbol. It's symbolism. Do you get that? It's symbolism of what happens spiritually. It's God who anoints us. And the truth and the reality is everyone in this room has an anointing. If you're a believer in God, you have an anointing. And that word anointing is related to Christ. And where it fits today, you understand that another meaning for the word anointed is chosen one. And we've got to realize with the name of Jesus Christ, that word Christ is not just Jesus' last name. Like it's like that's not what it is. It's not the family of Christ. You know, like down that road there's their house, and that's where the Christ family live. Do you understand that? It's not the way it works. I've actually had a conversation with someone about that. They said, "Oh, is there a whole lot of Christs in Jerusalem?" And I said, "What?" So there's a lot of Jesuses. It's normal, but the word Christ wasn't just the last name. Do we understand that? That word Christ was a title, and that word Christ literally means anointed one. That's what it means. That's the understanding of that word. And so Jesus has been set apart for a purpose. That is his name. That word chosen and that word anointed literally means that Jesus was set apart for a purpose. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we see God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Luke 4, verse 18. Very well-known passage. This is the Spirit. This is what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's what Jesus was sent for. He said it himself. His whole life was about a purpose. And he understood that the anointing from God, that empowering of the Holy Spirit, was primarily, it was all wrapped up in his purpose. Amen? So your anointing. Let's talk about your anointing. Your anointing is wrapped up in your purpose. Your anointing is, if you want to really connect with the anointing of God on your life, then you have to have a heart to walk in the purpose that God has for you. Amen? If you want your anointing just to, your purpose in your life is just to make yourself rich, then you're going to struggle with that. Are you with me? You're going to struggle with sensing and connecting with the anointing of God on your life, because the anointing of God is about what God has given you to do for your life. That's why you are anointed. It's been set apart. That word means set apart, to be used by God. And I pray that today that you would realize that you can have every aspect of your life anointed because you have every aspect of your life set apart to be used by God. Amen? And it's not that foreign. It's not something that has to be that complicated, no matter what you do. John chapter 14, verse 16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Talking about the Holy Spirit. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, "But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Getting through these quickly, because I want to pray for some people. "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." The greatest way for you to sense the anointing of God is to be in you, to be mindful of your purpose before God. Amen? And that's why, you know, when you see someone come and they seem to have this anointing when they're preaching or speaking or what have you, it's simply because that they are functioning in their purpose that God has put on their life. Are you with me? Are you with me? And that's why some people have powerful anointings, because they've given their lives over to it, and there is a powerful anointing on their life because they are living in that purpose. Are you with me? Which means they're comfortable with it, they're allowing it, and they're flowing in it. But I tell you what, there are people in this room, and your anointing is in the field of business and finance, and I tell you what, you could be just as powerfully anointed in that area. Are you with me? Just as powerful as seeing someone that has this amazing Holy Spirit anointing, it seems, and it draws, and there's faith that draws that out of someone as well, out of their reputation. But you can be the same. You can walk into a boardroom, or you can walk into some deal, and you can be anointed, and people can go when you leave, "Wow, man, that guy just seemed to cut through everything. He seemed to know what was going on. He seemed to ask all the right questions. Man, that guy was, wow, I've never met anyone like that." Are you right? You could be someone who sits opposite someone and you're anointed in your mercy, and they could be rabbling on and talking, and you just cut straight through, and you're anointed by God, and you use that anointing on your life, and bang, you bring some reality, you bring a word of knowledge, you bring prophecy, you bring truth to them straight away. God wants you to live with this sense of anointing. You could be anointed as a mum. Are you with me? Honestly. Your kids could be like, "Oh, I'm sick of it. This is not fair. My mum seems to know everything that's going on." She just seems, you know, most mums do, but it's like you could be spiritually in tune. It's like, what is going down? And your kids will have complaints with God. "God, give me a break. Don't get away with anything." Are you with me? You can be anointed. Because your purpose as a mum is to raise children, men and women of God. Amen? And a father. There's aspects of your life, and that's what we want to tap into. What I want to do today is I want you to reach down underneath yourself and bring out a card that says, "Yeah, dream something. Dream big." Because I want to bring some intent to this morning. Because you've got purpose, and I want you to bring some of your purpose, and I want you to put some of your purpose together in your minds and your hearts for this year. I'm not going to collect these up and keep them somewhere and all of that sort of thing, but I'm going to ask you to think about what God's got for you this year, because that's what we're going to pray about. And we've got some pens here, because no one ever has pens anymore, because we've all got electronic devices. And so if you need a pen, keep your hand raised, the old-fashioned pen. Remember what that looked like? And do you know what? I'm going to give you some time, because what I want you to do for a moment, I want you to think about your purpose in God and think about what is a part of what God can use you in this year. And maybe this is a real refocusing for you. Maybe you need to really get back to the core of who you are and what God's called you to. God does not make us to waste us. God has created every single person in this room, and he has a purpose and intent for your life, and you are anointed for that purpose and that intent. Amen? That is the way God works. Jesus came with a defined, clear purpose for his life. He knew exactly. He stood up and said, "This is why I am here. I'm to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm to proclaim the good news. Set the captives free." And there is a purpose for your life, and obviously it's wrapped within the purpose of Christ, hopefully. But I want you, and even just take some time to settle in your heart for a moment and think about what you're going to put down, and maybe just think about your purpose, and maybe think about what areas in your life you want to have a look at this year and believe for. Maybe as a mum, it is, you know what? It is to ramp up that purpose of teaching your kids to love God. Maybe it's dedicating yourself to that and asking God's anointing on your purposes and that you're going to be more intentful on that purpose this year. That's what it might be. Might be to do in the area of business, that it would be something that would be used for the kingdom. Might be to do in any area of your life. It might be your relationship, that you as a husband and a wife, that you are going to make sure that you as a couple, that your relationship has purpose in the kingdom of God. That you give yourselves to each other, and you also, as a couple, would bless those around you. Your purpose could be to find a wife, find a husband. Amen? Because what I want to pray for today, when we get our people up here in a moment, we're going to do this any second. I've got pretty much nothing more to say. One more thing. I want to pray this year that you sense the anointing in the areas that you're believing for. Amen? Because you already are anointed. All right? If you're a believer in this house, I can't somehow put some oil on you and say that from now on you are anointed, because the fact is you are anointed. So all I'm drawing out is the anointing that you already have on your life and giving you some understanding of how to walk in it this year. Amen? Walk in with a godly purpose. Walk in it. Understand what it is. Let's enter this year with purpose. I don't believe Jesus took a step on this earth that wasn't without purpose. Are you with me? There is nothing about what he did, where he went, how he put himself on the cross that was not part of his purpose. His whole life had an intent. I'm not saying we will ever possibly get to that stage, but let's at least live with our hearts for the purpose of God. The last thing we're going to pray for today, in James 5:14, it says, "If anyone around among you is sick, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray and anoint him with oil in the name of Jesus. So in all of this, if you've got sickness when we pray for you, can you just ask? Because we're here, the eldership is those that are in key leadership and those in the areas, and we will anoint and pray for God's healing. We're going to take that opportunity this morning as well. Is that all right? Two things we're going to do. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to invite our team to come up, our worship team, or just even Dave on the keys, or just something in the background. And who needs more time? Has everyone filled out their card? And I'm going to ask for our guys that we talked about, they're going to come and pray, if they can make their way to the front, come and stand. We'll get rid of this as well. Get rid of that. We don't need any of that anymore.